Hello and welcome to Me, Myself and 40K with me, your host, Inquisitor Archer, known on the internet. As we do every episode, we look at the 40K universe that Warhammer gives us, so the lore behind things, also the tabletop game as itself. As you know, it's episode 20. What is this new improved podcast, you say? Well, I'll explain more about it in the next part, in part one, after the intro now. Otherwise, it is a new structure to it. I've added a few new things as I've been going on about in the last few episodes. So all to your benefit. Otherwise, apart from that, let's get straight into Me, Myself and 40K, episode 20. Right, so you want to know all about the new improved podcast. So, I'll tell you. So this will be a short sort of description of how I've changed it a little bit and what you're going to be going forward in this episode. So the first part, I'd normally talk about any updates from Warhammer and Games Workshop themselves. So hats out to them, as usual. And obviously, I'll be reviewing normally new models, new packs of things. So like if they bring out, like, I think the latest one up to date is Hexfire, the Grey Knights versus the Thousand Suns. So anything that's new and I want to include or I want to go over, I will include in this sort of part where it would be. But for this section, I'll do that. But also I'm going to, like I said, quickly go over what the structure is changed to. So like I said, first part, this would normally be just overview of any updates Warhammer has given us and any new models that I like the look of. After that, it's obviously going to be the new Battle Report or Bat Rep. So hopefully I can have more games with people now, and I am having more games with people. In particular, obviously, our wonderful, our beautiful, our amazing Amber, who obviously does our quizzes with us. She's agreed to take part in some Kill Team because she prefers Kill Team, the smaller games. So hopefully when the new Kill Team version comes out, we'll do that as well. So we do Kill Teams, and maybe we might do a few small games of 4K. However, I have a few other people in line. So my friend James, who might be coming on the podcast soon as well, he plays his Drakari, Dirty Dark Elves, and I might sort of take a few notes from those bat reps as well. So what would happen is, so for instance, this week, I'm going to write a backstory, as I used to do. I used to write story, like story time, in my first few episodes of the podcast, but basically it'll be a backstory to the battle report itself. So I'd go over sort of a small section of sort of basically what I've written and like a narrative. And then I'll go over the mission, two kill teams, all the forces, any special things or anything that's involved in them, the mission itself. And then obviously the week after, you will know, or basically we'll go over the battle report itself. And I'll go back almost like, I guess if it's 40K, it'll be round by round. If it's kill team, obviously it'll be round by round as well and see who wins, etc. So yeah, then obviously we'll have our advert. And then after the advert, we'll have the subject talk and chat. So as I used to do, it'll be a chat with myself about a piece of lore. This is not going to be episode based. So obviously, like last week, it was orcs. So we'll just talk about orcs and the quiz will be about orcs. In this case, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm just going to have a subject for a guest or a subject which I just pick out the air and obviously talk about. So it could be a chapter, it could be a part. So if I pick a guest and they want to talk about, I don't know, Thousand Suns, we'll talk about Thousand Suns, or maybe, I don't know, the Orc Clan Bad Moons for some reason, you know, we'll just do something like that instead. Or I'll pick something as well, so I could pick, I don't know, something crazy like the new Squig Hog Boys or something like that. And then obviously if I do have a guest, we'll talk about that, or if I know, I'll just talk about it myself and obviously give lore and kind of give information about that. After that, as usual, it doesn't change. It stays in the same position. We'll go straight to the quiz with the missus. So obviously Amber will obviously still be on the podcast because I'm sure lots of people want to hear Amber, not just me. And obviously that will be the case. So we will have a quiz and it'll be about a subject. So instead of the episode being like, oh, orcs, it'll be orcs quiz. We'll just pick a random subject. It could be from the subject we actually have with the guest on the previous section, or it could be completely different. So, but most likely it'll be the same sort of subject, I presume. But yeah, I'm trying to make it less sort of structured, more sort of, not less structured, but more like I don't have to follow like, oh, it's orcs this week, it's, you know, psychers next week, or it's chaos this week. You know, I can kind of move it a bit more around, and obviously guests, if guest speakers come on the subject or talk chat section, then they can pick whatever they want instead of me going like, oh, we're talking about this. So really, that's about it. So we'll go now on to the next part, where obviously we'll go to just talking about any new updates for Warhammer itself. So updates for this week, there's not very many really. Well, there are two, and it's a bit late, obviously, because I've already done an orc episode, but by this time, orcs will be out, or they're on pre-order right now. So when this podcast goes out on the Sunday, it will actually be the Saturday after pre-release, so then obviously all the orc stuff will come out. Well, some of it will, like Codex, and we've got a few other things, like the Big Boss Bunker Head, a few of the Beast Snagger stuff, the Combat Patrol box, as it were, so obviously, basically, these boxes are going to replace the starter collecting, as it were. So in that box, you'll be able to get brand new boys, which unfortunately now we know are all push fit, monopose crap. The new War Boss Mega Armor, a Death Dread, because obviously they must have a numerous supply of Death Dreads, so they just get rid of Death Dreads. And the one I like the most is the three new Death Copters, as it were. It's quite a good box, to be fair, just that some of the stuff in it is not that great. Otherwise, the only other thing we've heard recently, by this time, you've already listened to this, at this time, the only thing we've heard is the next Codex supplement, which is going to come out, because it's obviously a supplement for Space Marines, which is the Black Templars. Now, I love Black Templars. They're one of my favorite chapters. Black Templars, the Zealous sort of kill for the Emperor, kill all the heretics you can, crusade for 10,000 years plus, and, you know, bing, bam, boom. So we're going to get, the Black Templars are going to get a Codex supplement, as it were. So that's great. Obviously, I don't care because obviously I play Deathwatch, so I play all the chapters, but that'd be nice to see. And the other thing we know is the next two Codexes are going to be an Imperium and a Xenos one. So obviously the Chaos are still waiting for theirs, which we also know now that won't be getting another Codex until next year now. So 2022. Which is sad, because obviously, I mean, they only have at the moment Death Guard and Thousand Sons, which, okay, two chapters, but, you know, not much else they have, really. Apart from that, there's nothing really else to really talk about, because there's nothing else. Obviously, anything I want to cover is obviously Kill Team, which obviously now the Octavius box is out, the books are out, so obviously you've got the new rule book, you've got the other book, what I can't call them, just see, like a Kundarium, or kind of. What it's called now, but basically it gives you all the information about other things, as it were, and yeah, it looks good. I'd like to play it, but obviously then it's spending more monies and I don't want to do that just yet. So yeah, that's everything at the moment to update. So that's the updates for this podcast, as it were. So we'll go next to the next part, which will obviously be our bat rep now. So the bat rep, this would be the background story or the backstory to the bat rep, which we'll have next episode and as a battle report, as it were. Right, so this is the new part of the podcast where we are going to do a tiny bit of a story time, as I used to do previously in the first few episodes of this podcast. And then I will explain that the story leads into a battle report, or a bat rep, as some people say. I'll explain all the things involved in that at the end of sort of like the backstory, as it were. And then obviously next episode, I will be doing a report about what happened in the actual battle report itself. I think the only thing we need to do is get into it. So like I said, first is the backstory to this, and we are going to join the Watch Sergeant Clade from the Death Spectre chapter, Death Watch, obviously, and his next mission into a Death World jungle. And obviously this is titled Strike at the Heart, because that's the name of the mission we'll be doing. Sit back and listen, please. Watch Sergeant Clade looked out in the ominous and dangerous jungles of the Death World he and his kill team had been sent to. His kill team had been sent to eliminate an elite band of orcs that had settled in the area, and if possible, take the Xenos' forward encampment. He'd looked around at each member of his kill team, marking each member and each of the individual strengths they brought to the team. Xanos, Vanguard veteran of the Exorcist chap, his knowledge of Xenos races, and more importantly, how to kill them, was exemplary. His sharp mind mirrored his skill at arms. Fast, decisive, and precise, nothing seemed to be able to stand before his power axe. Lachlan, giant bulwark of his team. The Storm Giant didn't let his chapter's reputation down. when it came to the sheer physical prowess of his stature. He stood a whole foot taller than the rest of his Marine brothers, and even taller in his suit of Terminator armor. Only Quaid himself could meet the giant's eye, only because he was a Primaris Marine. Lachlan was a quiet sort, and only would raise his booming voice if he truly felt it necessary. Cedriel was one of the two enigmas of team. In the past, he was a watch sergeant too, with many years senior experience to Quaid. He knew that Cedriel had been put on the team to observe and evaluate Quaid's battlefield leadership. Either way, Quaid didn't let this bother him. Having a veteran from the mysterious Darkmoon Blades chap was an honor, and he fully utilized Cedriel's sound advice and expertise when it came to strategy. Nero, the other enigma of team. Black Shield was a prime example of the so-called warriors that shouldn't be questioned. It was hard for Quaid to get used to the Death Watcher's concept behind a warrior scoring all identity from the chapter once he had came, and for no one to question it. Whoever he was, or whoever he came from, there's one thing that wouldn't be denied. Nero was an excellent and ruthless warrior, first and foremost. Whichever chapter he had come from, Quaid had thought as he had watched Nero kill and decimate dozens of Xenos aliens on several missions. It was no doubt his chapter was missing a great asset. And lastly, Quaid himself was a Primaris Intercessor of the Death Spectre chapter. He was one of many new Primaris Marines allowed to join the Death Watch on the first vigil. At the start of his vigil to the Death Watch, he had been rather cynical about being accepted into the Death Watch by numerous other Firstborn veterans. However, he was quite amazed that once he had passed the initial and grueling training and had taken his oath to the Death Watch, he wasn't seen any differently from any other brother on their first, second, third, or any other vigil they were on. This was only Quaid's second mission as Kill Team leader, and he didn't want any mistakes. He had been thorough in his briefing to his team. He had his objective, and that was not letting any of these so-called elite green skins survive and take their forward base encampment. Death to the alien, Quaid thought to himself. Death to them all. Right, so now we're going to go through the bat rep. This is a kill team, the previous kill team version 1 mission, and it's called Strike to the Heart. It's a map play mission from the Kill Team Annual 2019. The mission objective: at the end of the battle, each player scores one victory point for each enemy out of action to a maximum of 5. One victory point for holding their own home objective, and 3 victory points for holding the enemy's objective. The kill teams involved are Death Watch and Orcs. Going through each kill team, the Death Watch kill team is Kill Team Quaid. Specialist leader is the Intercessor Sergeant, with a bolt rifle, bolt pistol, and a power sword. Combat specialist is a black shield with a power maul and a storm shield. A veteran specialist, a terminator, with a storm bolter and a power fist. A zealot specialist, a vanguard veteran, with a jump pack, power axe, and storm shield. And then a watch sergeant with a death watch bolt gun and a xenophase blade. And then the orc kill team is Ugtaz's key blue gits. The leader is a boss knob with a big chopper and a slugger. A heavy specialist, which is a flash git with a snaz gun, a chopper, and a git finder squig. Combat specialist, which is a knob commando with a power claw and a slugger. A demolition expert, which is a knob with a combi weapon with a scorcher and a chopper. Then two extra knobs, one with the kill saw, chopper, and cyborg body, and the other with just a chopper and a slugger. So it is a kill team match of 125 points. They're equal. And so next episode, we will go over what actually happens in the actual report. So thank you for listening, and we'll go to the next part. Right. So on this podcast today, on this episode, we have a special guest with us. I have introduced him before, or I spoke about him on my podcast before, especially Space Wolves. He's an avid Space Wolf player. We have none other than the one and only Chris Hughes.
I was waiting for my wrestling music to kick in so I could walk down the podium, but never mind.
Sorry, I mean, I don't even have background music on these episodes, so I do apologize about that, Chris.
Where's the production value?
Non-existent. Thank you for coming on this episode with me. I say today, well, this episode, because it could be any day. However, I have obviously, like I said, I have named you before in other podcasts, certainly Space Wolves and other ones where you've got a sort of thought about you when you've said or mentioned something, and obviously you've given your foresight, and I remembered it for some reason. I don't know.
I am very wise, let it be said.
You are very wise. You're very wise in the topics that I talk about, which obviously are 4K, Warhammer 4K, other things as well. But finally, I managed to grab you, tie you up, and gag you, and bring you onto the show. So it was great. So
I've chewed through the gag though, so I'm good to go for this podcast.
Yeah. No drugs involved. So
no. It's all consensual.
So the topic today, because I normally talk with my guests about a certain topic. Obviously, this one you picked is actually. We're actually going to go away from lore, as it were, and actually talk about actual tabletop game. And in particular, we're going to talk about the different plays of games, so tournament, narrative, dramatic play, and all that kind of jazz. Now, for one, I've only played map and narrative, so basically, the most generalist ones, probably more narrative than anything else. However, I've not played a lot of tournament play. Well, I'll say not a lot, I would say literally nothing. However, you are an experienced veteran of tournament play, and obviously you've obviously been playing. Actually, can I ask if it's all right, how many years have you actually played 40k?
When I got into it as a kid, but in that way of it being like, I like them, paint them, sit at home painting them and setting them up and looking at pretty things, but actually playing the game, because back when I started, I was in it for a little bit when second dropped, and then a mate of mine was like, oh, we can actually play this. And it was just an alien concept to actually play the game. So I've been playing it from second edition, soon after second edition dropping. And it was all like on my mate's carpets with piles of books and no sense of balance. He just brought whatever you had, like, you know, and like doing things like, you know, having like a lone chaos champion running up the center of a board to throw a vortex grenade at your enemy's general and stuff like that. Just all kinds of like real tricksy stuff that you do as a kid that you think's hilarious. But looking back, you think, oh, that's a proper douche move. Was I a douche kid? Yeah, I probably was, to be honest.
I was probably too. And to be fair, so obviously you're my senior in 40K, because obviously I started at the end of second edition and obviously started third, as I probably have told you many times before.
Many times.
And then I had a huge gap from sort of third to end of third to when I went to do other things, college and girls and university, and I got into martial arts and stuff, you know, all that kind of crap. And then I came back, and actually this is when I came back in 8th edition, when I met you.
An exciting time. 8th edition was good for everyone.
Yeah, exactly. So I met you, when 8th edition was just about to drop, and I just come back to it. And I came in when it was that Shadow of War, when that had recently dropped. It was like the...
Shadow of War Armageddon, yep.
Yeah, Shadow of War Armageddon.
Which weirdly for both of us was a flashback to where we started, really. So because the rules were pretty second edition 40k, which was just, it was bonkers to go back that far.
Yeah, and also you still had to use templates. So you had the flame templates, the blast templates for grenades and rockets and stuff like that.
Yeah, and it was pretty that GW don't really like to think of setting up new rules or anything. They're just like, well, that's good. Dust it off, send it out, sell it.
Basically. However, we're not talking about that today, are we? We're going to carry on and talk about, well, I suppose, no, that's kind of relevant as well, because it's how it's been played. So it's like, for instance, Shadow of War, well, that's very narrative-based, wasn't it? It was very narrative-based.
Yes, it was that kind of Necromunda feel to a game, wasn't it? That's what they were going for. And I think they didn't realise, because at that point, I think 7th edition, everyone was kind of hitting that fatigue with it, and they just wanted something new, and everyone still wanted to play 40k but really couldn't be bothered with it. It felt like they released that as an afterthought to sell a bit of terrain and whatnot, and everyone went nuts for it. It turns out everyone just wanted an excuse to play 40k that wasn't 7th edition. And now it's like throwing shade on 7th, because a lot of people loved it, but I realized looking back how little I was playing it, because when 8th dropped, I played more games of 8th than I'd played of the whole of 40k prior to that combined.
Really? Oh, gee.
Yeah, very quickly. I was getting game after game after game. Loved it.
Yeah, well, I did have a few games of you, and I remember, I think, one of my first games in 8th, and I got my orcs out again, just my orcs off, and took them all out. I remember one of my first games at the Games Workshop shop near us, I had a game with you, and it was the most memorable game I've ever had in my entire Warhammer career, because instantly you were the nicest person in the entire shop. But you took your time. You like, if I said, "Oh, can I do this?" or you corrected me in something, and I was like, "Oh, okay, sorry, I won't do that again." You know, I'll make sure I make a note of it and stuff like that. And
there's a lot of etiquette to a two-player game like 40K that quite a few people in our hobby might be a little bit negligent of. Everyone's eager to learn the rules, eager to learn how to like destroy your opponent. But I think there's that core of, there's sort of two sides to the game, and that's that analytical win at all costs, which is a term that's quite negative. But then you got the other side. So you got your Andy Chambers, who wants to know how to win with his rules. And then you got your Jervis Johnson, which is, I want to have fun and make sure that both people enjoy the game. And it's there's sort of two sort of sides to the same coin, really.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Because obviously, because I didn't really play a lot. So I did play a few games in third, but actually growing up and learning the actual rules and all the insights from eighth, because I guess I'm presuming that's really how I'm going to say that's my actual career, of how I understood it properly. And not as a kid and just going like, oh, there's a rule there. I move and then I shoot. Now I understand the whole concept of it. But yeah, I come across a lot of different people, like things like yourself, then obviously other people that I've played with. And yeah, you can definitely tell. I think this relates to what we're talking about, is you get a lot of people who are competitive tournament players, you know, narrative players, or people who just want to match, basically just want a game, and they just want to bring, you know, 1,000 points on the board. We'll just do what we want. Pick out a rule, pick out a scenario, and we'll just play it. And
there's always a risk doing a pickup game in any shop. You never know what you're going to get. And some people can seem perfectly civil. Then you get them to the table and they're absolute savages, you know, in the nicest possible way. But they, you know, everyone's got their own way of dealing with it. So it can be nerve-wracking to play a stranger. And even then, like, I've had it where I've been surprised with people I've known externally and then played a game with and gone, oh, that was not as fun an experience as I thought it would be. So over time, you learn who you want to play and who you don't, and you kind of almost refine that list. But then you go to a tournament and you are out of your comfort zone again.
Yeah. And with that comment, we will actually go to the tournament side of it. Now, I'll quickly say my tournament experience. Now, I think the closest thing to a tournament for me is, remember we used to play Speed Hammer at the shop?
Yeah, Speed Hammer.
And it was 50 minutes a game, wasn't it? And it was, it was 500 points, wasn't it? And you had to do at least 3 rounds or something like that. They're the rules.
Yeah.
Now, for me, that was very restrictive. And for me, maybe if not for you or anybody else, but to me, that was very tournament-like. And I think that's the closest thing I've ever got to a tournament, because it was very specific play. And it was basically to earn points, wasn't it? You had to earn points.
It was Maelstrom of War, wasn't it, I think? I think they had a balance of like Maelstrom and a little something else. So you earn points each round as you went. At any point, they could just draw a line on the game and go, what are your points, who's won?
Basically, yeah. And I did like it, because I remember eventually they did develop it, you know, going through the months and, you know, when they had it. And they did put like a slightly narrative twist on it. However, it still was, the way I describe it is still, to me, it was quite a competitive tournament play, as it were. Obviously, from your perspective, obviously, I'm presuming you've played at different tournaments and obviously probably more, what's the right word to use, like well-known or named tournament. I don't know. But from my perspective, I love Speed Hammer. It was great. But I didn't like going against opponents which you could just tell they had like a meta list and it's just like, I can't do anything against it.
I think at 500 points, some armies could really lean into their advantages. And, you know, it was difficult to come up with a good list, because if you didn't have a good list, it's apparent very quickly. But one advantage with Speed Hammer was you weren't stuck in a 3-hour game with someone. But the other thing as well is it teaches people to be timely. That idea that you've got to get through so many turns, because I think playing a lot of tournaments, you realize that some people, they know how to play the game, they know how to play the rules, but they don't know how to play their army quickly. Yeah. And that's an important thing, not only for tournament play, but even if you have a pickup game with someone, because people might be like, oh yeah, I can meet you at the shop at 12, it shuts at 4. And if you spend like, you know, a whole bunch of hours playing a game and you only get to turn 2, that can be entirely frustrating. It might put you off playing a game with someone. Whereas the tournament mindset of getting through your turns in a timely fashion, I'm all behind that, to the point where there's certain people that if I played them again, I'd insist on chess clocks, because people can overthink things and spend a lot of time on their turn just kind of umming and ahhing, but then it comes to your turn, they'll rush you along and you think, okay, well, you just spent 20 minutes deciding who to shoot at with one unit. So I think there's a tournament, as much as I don't like one form over another. I like what each can offer for the mindset and just the tool set of someone who's doing wargaming as a whole.
Because obviously, as you know, there's obviously the strategy, which I didn't know about until I started watching videos about it and stuff, and obviously hearing about it, is obviously slow play in tournaments as well. Slow play, it's a very big thing, isn't it? It's slow playing your opponent. So yes. Then it's very, I think it's really, really cheeky. I think it's really, really, that's a really shitty move to do, I think.
The 8th edition, the biggest, I think, offender for that, I think, was Orcs. So I'm just joking aside, they because I think they had a really strong turn 3 usually, but they ran out of steam in turns 4 and 5. They just ran out of models. And so a lot of people were capitalizing on that board coverage they'd get in turn 3, scoring lots of points and hoping they didn't have to go to turns 4 and 5, when normally people would just be able to sort of wipe them off certain objectives and things like that. So it was... Yeah, it was interesting to see how certain armies' abilities to stand up in certain turns made a difference to the meta.
Yeah, and I bet that does. I bet you've seen that, haven't you, as well? Because could I ask, like, sort of how? I know you've talked sometimes to me on a few occasions when you've got into tournament quite a lot, and you gave me like little comments about certain people that you've played against. But could you like saying like, you know, point fingers at people, but could you just tell me like what tournaments have you been to anyway? What tournaments have you been to and what experiences do you think you've got from them?
Yeah, well, I've been to one in a while back run by D6 Evolution, and that was my first proper tournament. Yeah, I went to a D6 Evolution tournament, and that was one of my first proper tournament experiences. And so I just took what I had available with my Gene Stealer Cults. Genuinely just was interested to see what a tournament was like, and I heard a few friends already going, so I was just getting a lift, give it a whirl. And sure enough, came away with a wooden spoon in that one. Ended up on the bottom tables with a guy called Michael Bolton, not the Michael Bolton. So, but yeah, legit. When the first game in, I was up against Custodes, my Gene Stealer Cult, and the guy was the actual tournament organizer who stepped in just to, because there was like an odd number. So instead of giving someone the bye, he stepped in to play me. I think he saw my list and just went, yeah, we'll just school this guy. And it was, I can honestly say, it wasn't a positive experience, because he spent a lot of time telling me what I was doing wrong with my army list, despite me very quickly saying to him, yeah, mate, this isn't a competitive list. This is just everything I had. But he kept coming back to this idea of trying to teach me something. And I was like, well, unsolicited advice is quite an awkward one, because I know people want to help people in the hobby, but know your audience. If someone's not quite, you know, doesn't want to be talked at about what they're doing wrong for, you know, however long, whilst they're getting absolutely battered by a bunch of golden pricks. you know, honestly, my kills for that game, I think, was one model, if you discount the fucking Loyal 32 that was with him. And it was a one little acolyte with a mining drill straight through a golden boy, and that was the highlight of my match, killing one model. So it was a horrible experience. Rest of the tournament, I kind of had better and better games as with tournaments, obviously you stabilize your position with who you're playing against, so you end up on the bottom tables, and that's probably what my home turf, it would seem. So me and this fellow Michael Bolton just had a really good game at the end, me versus Necrons, a lot of interaction, chatting. Still lost that game, you know, won the wooden spoon in that tournament, but you know, it taught me about how what you can take can actually affect your enjoyment of the tournament. So you can go, well, I'm just going for a bit of fun, but if you just take a narrative lit and you don't think about how, you know, how am I going to score objectives, how am I going to deal with tanks, how am I going to deal with demon princes, all these sorts of little things you could come up against, you're going to have a bad time. And that was that little kick up the bum to sort of say, yeah, you enjoy narrative play and you still want to go to the tournament to have a laugh with your mates, but if you step up your game a little bit, you'll get more from the games. So it was a nice little reminder that it's still a competitive game. And, you know, I haven't fully leaned into taking meta lists or anything like that, but I've looked at building my list differently, you know, realizing what units are just a waste of points at, you know, competitive play, knowing what you're going to go up against, and just thinking a little bit more about what the experience is going to be like. But yeah, that was my first tournament. That was a bit horrible. And then after that, I wasn't too sure. Did a bunch of local tournaments run by some, you know, the guys in our local community at Games Workshop, and there was a Sparkly Unicorns thing in Crewe. Good group of gamers over there. It's like a gaming group. They've got Sparkly Unicorns. I think it's Purple Sparkly Unicorns. I'm not sure, but I got there. There was a guy in a unicorn onesie, so that's all I remember.
Okay,
event. I think Ben Bailey was streaming at the event as well, and just a really good crowd of people, a few fun games, lots of good sportsmanship, generally speaking. Took my jeans to the local again. Managed to get a painting award for that one, which I was happy with because I got trounced again, but still lots of fun. And then I've done two team events, and the team events at Warhammer World were by far my most enjoyable experience of tournament play because it's like 4v4 and you've got other people on your team and one of you is a team captain and you're going up against other teams, and there's a whole draft situation where you have to try and get good matches for your armies. So you've got four armies that cover whatever the bases are, and your opponent's got four, and you're having to kind of try and get the matches you want. Like, you know, we had a Tau player that was like, well, I'm good at fighting those orcs and I'm good at fighting those. So you have to kind of figure out who's gonna play who and play like a bit of a mini game even before you line up to play your games. But it was, you know, again, you could play it competitive, but a lot of people there just having a lot of fun with their mate. And, you know, you'd be playing one guy and some of his mates would come up and check on how he's doing, and your mates would check up on how you're doing. And, you know, if you finished early, you'd check up on your mates. And there's always having someone there around you. And so, you know, I think it took the excesses out of the game of it being too... It can be too isolating sometimes when you're on a table and none of your mates around you. In Warhammer World, they line you up with your mates either side of you. So it does become a fun little thing, and you can do that tough guy clicking, you know, and do a little dance off before the game starts.
That sounds fun.
But yeah, genuinely, and that turned me round to a certain degree, because I wasn't really enjoying tournament play for a bit. I'd go to them for the fun of it, but those team events really got me enjoying it. And 8th edition was fantastic for tournament play. Really enjoyed how the competitive play worked, because even though units were particularly strong, the missions that were out in Chapter Approved always balanced almost the whole edition. Like, it was all a complete package. So something could seem really strong, and a lot of people who complain about units being overly powerful are playing, they're having lineup games with their mates where they just knock seven bells out of each other. So a unit can be incredibly strong in that field, but if you're actually trying to score objectives, or, you know, sort of, you know, capture the relic or whatever those objectives were, you know, you could sink 800 points into a big Iron Hands blob at the back of the board. But I know really good players who've been able to just completely nullify that without having to sweat. You know, coming away, not tabling their opponent, almost getting tabled, but scoring all the points they need to. So yeah, eighth was a good addition for tournament play. So I sort of got into that towards the end. So I've done a few here and there. I've never done particularly well. You know, I think my best was 2 out of 5 at one tournament. But yeah, I lose a lot, but I've had a lot of experience at losing.
Yeah, but I mean, I wouldn't say it's, you how to say it nicely, you're not losing, are you? What you're doing is gaining experience for the next tournament, though, aren't you, I think? And
The first team tournament I went to, I think I lost every game, and then the second one I went to, I won 2 of the games. So it was, for me, I felt like I was making progress, because I was playing that edition of the game and learning, you know, do I want to go first or second in a mission? How do I contest the objectives, and it was learning to focus on the objectives as well, because a lot of the time I think you get carried away in 40k and you see your enemy's unit of whatever you hate, and you think, right, storm off the objective, go kill those guys, when actually the clever play would be to score the objective, but you're too busy thinking, well, if I kill it, it's not a problem, but you can easily lose yourself a game if you get distracted by killing stuff.
Yeah, and I think that's how I used to play, certainly. And you know yourself from telling me, certainly with my orc army, I never ever used to play the objective. And this is not even tournament play. This was just in match play or narrative play. I never ever used to play the objective. I always used to just play, run all my shit up and, you know, try and kill you as fast as I can. And most of the time, that didn't work. one, because it's orc, and I didn't play orcs that well. But now, we've just recently had a game in the last sort of few weeks. And for instance, I remember you telling me, which is it's not a criticism or anything. It took me. It wasn't like a oh my god, I didn't believe I did that. But you said that the one of the lists that I, because it was Necrons versus Death Watch, and the list that I brought was literally, like I said, you said it seemed a very meta list for your Necrons, or it was made for basically to crunch Necrons. And I was like, well, all I brought was things I wanted to use. Yeah. I had fully painted units, because I never like using units unless a unit is fully painted. And really, that list was, as I told you, it was all based around my captain. So I did have a smash captain, which I know some people hearing this would be like, oh, meta.
Yeah. You hide behind the narrative. You're like, oh, I'm a narrative gamer. You're there with the smash captains.
And basically.
In all your units. And
Yeah, and it's yeah, you could say that. You could say that. Yeah, I'm hiding my butt. The thing is, though, like I converted that Smash Captain, and I thought he's a cool character. I really like that kind of concept, and I converted him out of bits and pieces that I've had from Death Watch and Vanguard and stuff like that. And I kept building on. I mean, I think I had him for about like a few months, or 6 months or so. I just kept building on him because I didn't have something, and then I got the kit, and I was like, oh, then I've added that to him, and. Then I got a storm shield. Oh, an extra storm shield. Oh, I put on him. And like I said, the point I'm trying to get is you pointed that out to me. I was like, oh shit, I didn't realize that I'd done that. And I think at the time I was really apologetic, and I still am, that I smacked the shit out of Macrons. But it wasn't intentional. Like, it wasn't intentional at all. I mean, I know I needed a strong list. I know I needed that's why I brought my Vanguards.
Well, it was. I think it was because I think we'd historically had a lot of fun little narrative games. So I was, and this is where the tournament play and narrative play kind of are at odds with each other. So, like, you can love a unit to bits, but know in your heart of hearts that you're wasting points on that unit, especially if it's like a unit that has one good build, and then if you build it the other way, you might as well have just spent your money on extra dice. Because, yeah, that can happen. So sometimes we've had great fun where you've been taking Acolytes and an Inquisitor, and it's like being a little scrap between like a couple of little stanky Xenos boys and things like that. And then so it's a bit of a shock for me, I think, going from you playing your Acolytes to playing what was essentially the sort of apex way to play Death Watch. It was like, oh, okay, he stepped his game up, so I need to step mine up. And that's where the tournament play comes in, because it's easy to learn what gear you need to be in when you're playing certain people. And you can even say to people, like, you know, okay, well, we'll have a fun game, or tell you what, let's bring our best stuff. Because I think in same way with things like D&D and like just role-playing in general, there's a thing called the session zero conversation. So before you start a campaign, you have a chat, you see what the interests are for the other people, see what they're wanting to get out of the experience. And I think 40K needs more of those conversations between people. Because you can't, if you're on the wrong page, if someone's bringing a tournament list and someone's bringing a narrative list, generally speaking, the narrative player is going to have a bad time. You know, it's, and yeah, you can get some people who, you know, I respect to them, who can bring a narrative list, get absolutely trounced every time and walk away smiling. Fair enough. But if you feel like you've just spent 3 hours taking models off a board and winning the pack-up game, sometimes I think after a while that can start bruising. Because, you know, the amount of love that we put into our little toy soldiers and we name them and, you know, all that sort of stuff, it can be a bit of a sore spot. But if you're both on the same page, you can have a lot more fun than if you're coming at it from two different angles.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I agree with that. And certainly, like I said, I keep referring to our last battle, but... Since you said that to me...
Yeah, here's our last. I'm never playing you again.
All right, Dick.
That's why I'm on Lord of the Rings now, mate. I'm not playing 40K again. You've put me off 40K forever.
Oh,
I'm joking. We're going to be smashing Kill Team, I'm sure, very soon.
Oh, God, that's hilarious. what I was going to say was, like...
Sorry, it's
what's that?
I'll just derail you. That's
And see what sort of present you are. I mean, at the end of the day, it's not much around at before, as it were. But yeah.
So do you think you could be convinced to go into another tournament at any point?
Do you know, I don't know, actually. I really don't know.
See, what sort of event would you be interested in, then?
I don't know. I mean, like, for instance, ages ago, I used to be interested, not in, full sort of, like, as it was like a full sort of thing coming in. But like, for instance, it was actually, who was it? Was it Rick? No, I can't remember who it was. But they said that it was, they came down and said, oh, it's just a tournament, but it was actually based sort of very low. And it was like a 2v2. So obviously it was two people versus two people.
Oh, okay.
And I can't remember if you were involved, I don't know, but it was, and I didn't go over, in the end, I didn't actually go because I thought it was too much. But I was almost put into a place where it was like, oh, you can come on. It's really sort of like chill back. And even if it was a tournament, it was fine sort of thing.
But I think with tournament play, because I've been invited to what has been like friendly, referred to as friendly games. But, it's just a friendly tournament. Everyone's just bringing a bit of fun stuff. And you show up and you've got like, well, that guy's got two fly rants, and that guy's got like 60 million hell blasters. And you got like, there's people using all sorts of crazy stuff, and you think, I actually brought a fun list, as in something I thought would be fun to play against, and it's a, you know, a whole game of me just removing my models again. I think that's where the tournament play comes in, because if you bring a tournament list, like something that's more aggressive, you've got the option, you can dial it back, whereas you can never step a narrative list up to where it needs to be. Yeah, but playing tournament sort of games all the time, though, can really suck the fun out of the game as well. Because I noticed that a lot of the match play that is in 9th edition now, I'm not really enjoying it as much.
No.
But Crusade missions, but with a match play sensibility, I'm really enjoying. Because they've got a little bit more pizzazz to them. There's actually a focus on, you know, what's my objective? Play that instead of it being pretty much the same mission every time.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't played, obviously, Crusade, is it Crusade?
Yeah, Crusade.
Yeah, I'd love to do that. But yeah, it's again, sort of like the other side to it is it's not the tournament side, it's sort of like narrative side, isn't it? And I presume I like that too, as it were, as you just said. And obviously you can change it up and stuff like that. But yeah, I think that's really about it, really. Would you like to say anything, Carol, about...
Trying to think about things worth noting. I mean, you know, the hobby's got so many aspects to it. The fact that we're even living in an era where it's like defined that you've got match play, you've got open play, you've got narrative play, you've got all these ways to play your game, and ways that can, you know, like Crusade, I personally don't want to spend that long doing admin on my army after a game. Historically, I used to, you know, well, I still do. Whenever I play my Space Wolves, anyone who survives a game, who hasn't survived a game before, gets a name. One guy is MVP, he gets a saga. You know, and I've got guys who've got sagas they earned over a decade ago, and I still remember those little anecdotes, you know.
That's awesome.
And so I don't need to really sort of sit there with pen and paper figuring out how many kills he got or what happened. You know, I still remember that Hellbjorn the Steady gunned down a command squad, ran in, butchered a commissar, and then took the fire from an entire Imperial Guard army for one turn. You know, it's like little moments like that that you always remember. And you don't really need to sort of sit there marking things on a little chart with all you guys, like Crusade sort of has you doing. But the fact that that's there, like if, you know, young me got Crusade, I'd be recording every kill and, you know, I'd love it. But you don't need to do all that. It's a toolbox, you know, like any good role play set. All the rules are there. Use as many or as, you know, few as you want. And you can have a lot of fun using Crusade to do your own campaigns. And if you show up against someone, you've got Crusade army, they've got a match play, you can play each other. There's not a complete separation there that means that it's, you know, completely unplayable. The fact we have that means it is a golden era to be playing 40K and all the other things. So I think there's a lot of negativity goes around. I've probably been a source of a lot of that tonight because I whinge a lot. But the hobby at the moment is fantastic. You know, I've got a 4-day campaign thing coming up next month for Titanicus that I'm doing with a few friends.
Oh, awesome.
There's Necromunda plans. I've got a mate who's busy painting probably about £1,000 worth of Zomortalis boards because at some point we're going to go delving in the Underhive, you know. I'm even playing other games. Like, we've got sort of, you know, there's so many other games out there to be playing now that whatever you fancy is there and there's a community for it. So, you know, we can whinge all we want, but there's, you know, the game is there to be played however you want to play it, and just find the right people to play those games with, have those conversations. If you don't like what your mate is using, have a word with them. If, you know, if you need help with your lists, talk to people. I just don't want, what I don't like is at certain points in the history of these games where people tell you, oh, you're using that army, this is the only way to play that army. And for a game that is built around you picking out units you like, building them, painting them the way you want, there's nothing worse than being told that you have to pick a certain unit or build it a certain way.
I agree.
That's the negative side of the meta and the tournament side of things. Yeah. But I guess that's your clue. If that is the truth about one particular army, then that's a sign the game developers need to do something.
I agree, totally. Well, I'm going to say, well, that's covered quite a lot today, but obviously it's coming up to obviously our time, as it were. So all I want to say is thank you very much for joining me on this podcast, as it were. So thank you for taking us through all that information, because obviously I have very little knowledge. Well, sorry.
You're Robin.
I have very little knowledge of this kind of thing sometimes. And it's like, you know, you've seen it from a different point of perspective, etc. Thank you very much for joining me on this podcast, and hopefully we'll see you again at some point about other things.
we'll have to have a chat about Kill Team at some point.
Oh yes, definitely. Yes, definitely, definitely, definitely. So I'll just say thank you very much, and
okay, bye.
Bye. See you now.
All right. So it's the quiz with the Mizzes for this episode 20. I'm not doing the quiz for you, am I?
You're not?
No, you're doing it for me. Hi, Amber, by the way.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Spiffy.
Spiffy.
I don't know.
It's better than dandy. So.
Dandy. Peachy.
Spiffy.
Yeah, so you're doing it for me this week, aren't you? Because it's the 20th new podcast, all bells, no whistles, everything like that. So you're going to do it for me, and then we'll go back to the usual.
Okay.
You got it already, haven't you, for me? Am I allowed lifeline?
Oh, I hadn't even thought of that.
No,
do you want lifelines?
I don't know. I did show your call.
Yeah, you can have lifelines. I'm allowed them, so you're allowed them.
I'm allowed 50-50.
You can have
50-50. Or eliminate one, sorry.
Eliminate, well, yeah, you can't 50-50. You can't say one and a half answers, can't. But yeah. Anyway, yeah.
And I can ring a mum.
You can ring a mum.
I'm not going to, though.
Why?
Don't know. So, is there a theme to these?
There's Xenos.
All right, so it's Xenos. Right, okay, so it's a Xenos quiz.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So you've got your thing ready for me there.
Oh, yeah, I have to show you pictures.
Oh, you've shown me pictures. Yeah. Show me
pictures.
Okay,
cool. Okay, so this is the first one.
Okay. Ah, okay.
Oh, do you know what it is?
I think I do.
Ah, you said, I don't know anything about Xenos. You can quiz me on Xenos. Right, so this can be a very quick quiz, ladies and gentlemen. So
it's only because it came with the Gene Steel and like the new models, that's all, I think.
Okay.
But I can't remember what it's called.
Okay. Number one is this image.
Okay.
A, is it Acrophius? Is it B, Biophagus? Or is it C, Clamavus?
B, Biophagus.
You sure?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember this because he's like the doctor of the Gene Stealer Cullen. He's got his little creepy little guy with his potion bottle.
I thought I was really smart with those.
Yeah, no, it was. Yeah, you know, yeah. All yeah, right. It was pretty cool.
Nerd. Right, second one is this big thing.
I forgot what this is called now.
Did you know it's a Tyranid?
I believe so. With its many arms, its carapace body, and its licky tongue, yes.
Okay, are you ready? Number two.
Mm-hmm.
A, is it a Bloodlord? B, is it a Trigord?
Trigord.
Or is it C, a Broodlord?
I know it's not the first one. I know it's not a Bloodlord. Trigord?
Yeah.
No, I think it's a Broodlord, but I'm not sure. Like, I'm like 51%. You know, I'm like that kind of like 51, 49% sure. Can you say them again?
Is it A, a Bloodlord?
No.
B, a Trigord? Or C, a Broodlord?
Broodlord.
Final answer?
Yeah, so if I change it now, it'll be just... Ah!
Sorry, it's stuck. I'll start it. Ding!
Yay!
God, I thought I was really good at these. I was proper chuffed with myself when I wrote this out yesterday.
Yeah?
Right, next one.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know what that is.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Is there any point in me saying it, though? You conned me on this.
No, I didn't.
You said, I know nothing about Tyranids, Tau, and Xenos. You said, I don't know much about Xenos besides some things with Necrons, is what you told me yesterday.
Oh, okay.
So you've conned me.
Okay.
Right. Well, what is it then? Tell me.
Well, it's either a Lictor, or if it's the named one, then it'll be like something like this, something Creeper or something Jumper or something like that. Combrat. Okay.
Is it A, a Lictor, B, a Death Leaper, or C, Lictovore?
Well, it's definitely a Lictor, but it could be the named one, so it could be a Death Leaper. So that's kind of to me there, because I know the name character is like Death Leaper, I think it is. So I'm actually screwed on this one because I don't actually know.
Okay. Do you want me to repeat them?
Yes, please.
Is it A, Lictor, B, Death Leaper, or C, Lictovore?
Never heard of Lictovore. I'm actually going to have to eliminate one because I'm not sure. I'm not certain between the Death Leaper or the Lictor.
Well, at this point in the quiz, you have lost your your ability to use.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm joking.
I've lost my privileges.
Okay, I will eliminate. Oh, do I have to?
You eliminate whichever one you want. You eliminate the other one. You can eliminate C if you want to.
I'm going to eliminate Luctivore.
I think it's the name character one. No, he's painted different now. I'm going to have to go with Death Leaper because I think it's the name character one.
Final answer before I do my countdown.
Yeah, yeah.
Final answer.
B, Death Leaper.
It's a Lictor.
Oh, it is a Lictor. Oh, I don't know what the other one looks like now then.
Don't know. If I remember correctly, it was a bit bigger.
Oh, was it?
I think so.
Okay.
Because I nearly picked that and I was like, he'll probably guess it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know, after this, I'm going to look it up anyway. So
the fourth image.
Oh, no clue.
This is your own fault because you said this as I was struggling. You were like, I don't know about these. So.
Well, I know it's a battle suit, but I have no fucking clue what it is.
Yeah, well, I was smart enough to put all three. Is it A, a VX-104 Riptide battlesuit?
I have no clue.
Is it a BXV-88 Broadside battlesuit? Or is it a KV-128 Shadow Sun battlesuit?
It's not Shadow Sun. I know it's not Shadow Sun. Because Shadow Sun's a named character.
Nearly put that in. Good job I didn't.
I have no fucking clue. Because I have no clue about Tau battlesuits. They look the fucking same to me.
You know what? I find them really boring. They just look the same.
Yeah.
Looking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, Tau players get bored because they just paint them different colours. I have no clue.
Should have saved because, eliminate one.
Yeah, I know. Because I've heard of Riptides and I've heard of Broadsides. But you see, Broadsides, to me, the Broadsides that I know, I've got the big massive guns on their shoulders. I mean, he's got like a plasma thing there, but now I think a Riptide is bigger, but it looks pretty big. It's not Shadow Sun. Flippity flippity. VX-104 Riptide, XV-88 Broadside Battles. You see, that one, I know more. You know, like, that rings a bell more than that one. But then I'm not sure if that's that.
Mm.
So, you know, I'm just going to go with the one I know, Broadside. Fuck it. I'm just going to go with the one I know.
Final answer.
Yeah, because either way, well, yeah, it's either 50%, isn't it? It's 50% because I know it's not Shadow Sun, so.
Okay.
Yeah. It's gonna be a fucking Riptide now, isn't it? Stop. She's making weird.
Ding! Yay!
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
Oh shit, it was. Okay.
Yeah. Let me double check my. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's clever. You put it on the back. That's clever.
Yeah, well, in case I forgot. Whole days passed. I can delete these off my phone now.
Oh, yay. Excellent! Yay! Well, that's awesome. You got me on the Lictor one, didn't you?
Yeah, but I was really... I'm a bit disappointed.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Like, why do you have to be so smart?
I'm not. I'm a geek. I'm not smart.
Mm.
But anyway, yeah, that was really good. I had to think about those. Like,
I made some of them up.
Well, I got the first one because I knew what it was. But the second one, I was a bit like, not so sure. But the only one I kind of got to, was like Broodlord. I haven't heard that before. The Lictor was really like, I didn't have a clue. I'm going to look up what Death Leaper looks like now. And then the towers, that was by fluky chance, that was. That's because I've heard of a Broadside.
Yeah.
I've heard of a Riptide, but Broadside is like, that's one of the first ones that came out.
Mm.
But they were different, because the ones I knew had their guns on their back.
Oh, okay.
And they like, yeah, they weren't holding it. So, yeah. Well, thank you very much for that. That was awesome. I still enjoyed it. I think that was really good. I really enjoyed that.
Good.
I'm taking the piss. I really enjoyed it.
I promise.
I've
been serious.
I've been so serious. No, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. That was really good, that was.
You're welcome.
Okay. Anyway, so yeah, this has been episode 20 of our new improved podcast.
New and improved.
Yeah.
Cool.
And obviously, people can obviously, as usual, people can obviously give me feedback and obviously comment on the actual new sort of system, as it were, at my email.
Which is
memyselfand40k@gmail.com. Or they can catch me on Twitter.
Woo! Twitter too?
Yeah, Twitter. Yeah.
What's your Twitter?
It's at CDR Robin Archer. Yeah.
Cool.
Excellent. And yeah, so apart from that, thank you for Amber for doing the quiz.
You're welcome.
No. I'm well, no.
Yeah, you always get this wrong.
I know, yeah. It's a pleasure, so as always. And thank you again. And it's bye from me. And
bye.
Bye from you. And we'll see you next time.